Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yeah, welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keiser here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there. Joe Rex Road, good Thursday morning to you. What's going on? Uh-oh. Do we hear Rex Road, Nick Keiser?
He's muted, I think. No?
I don't think he's muted on his side.
We will get Joe figured out.
We'll get Joe figured out here just momentarily. We'll get some technical difficulties that we'll work on that front. So we've got a lot to get to on the program today. The best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. Our good friend Charles Robinson dropping by the show at 8 o'clock from Yahoo Sports. Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic at 9 o'clock as well. And it is SEC Media Days, day four, the fourth and final day of SEC Media Days, the Tennessee Vols in action today down there in Atlanta. So Michelle Knezovic, Caroline Fenton will have you covered on a variety of different fronts today. The Vols obviously going to take up the majority of the SEC Media Days coverage here today on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But Jimbo and Texas A&M going to be down there as well. I mean, interesting day down there in Atlanta on the final day of SEC Media Days. So we're going to try to carry that Josh Heupel press conference coming up live for you later in the show. Around 9:30 is when he's scheduled to speak, so we'll have that for you hopefully live, and hopefully Heupel gets kind of right into it, and we'll see what the questions look like from Josh on that end. Do we have Joe figured out yet?
I can try.
There he is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there we go.
Joe, how are you?
I'm great. Very excited about more SEC Media Days. Should be a tremendous day.
Are you more excited that it's the final day of SEC Media Days, or that the Vols are speaking today?
Actually, I've enjoyed them from afar. Really, I've enjoyed, I think Michelle and Caroline are doing awesome interviews down there. I think we've had a lot of good conversations. So, you know, I don't want to diminish SEC Media Days too much. Coming
you're
in
just
Nashville
glad you're
next
not there.
Year. That's the thing. Next year, there's no ducking next year because it's here. So, you know, like there's no excuse I can come up with next year to not go into that stuff.
Hey, okay. Enjoy it while you can, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it'll be great, though.
I'm sure it will be. So, Joe, we discussed a little bit of the Matthew Tkachuk rumor, I guess, that was out there yesterday. And the information has since changed when we went off the air yesterday. So, Matthew Tkachuk, his future has been in doubt with the Calgary Flames, especially ever since Johnny Gaudreau did not re-sign in Calgary. As soon as Gaudreau made his decision to go to Columbus, I kind of thought it was a foregone conclusion at that point that Matthew Tkachuk was not going to re-sign in Calgary. And yesterday, there was a report from The Athletic, and Jeremy Rutherford was part of that report. We'll have him on later in the show, coming up at 9 o'clock. That Matthew Tkachuk has told the Calgary Flames that he will not be re-signing on a long-term deal with Calgary, which has facilitated apparently some trade conversations from the Flames throughout the rest of the league. Now, this is kind of where it gets complicated from there, because in this piece from The Athletic that was put together yesterday, it says that one source close to the situation it says that Matthew Tkachuk's list that he submitted to Calgary of teams that he would re-sign a long-term deal with includes St. Louis, Vegas, Florida, Dallas, and the Nashville Predators. Now, obviously, when that was put out there yesterday, you started to look around and say, huh, okay, the Predators are on his list. Now, you break down this list. Vegas, there's no income tax there. Florida, there's no income tax there. Obviously, we know there's no income tax here, and there's no income tax in Dallas either. The only one that does have income tax is St. Louis, and that is his hometown. So that was an interesting list that got put out there yesterday. There was another report from Eric Francis up from Sportsnet in Canada that kind of refutes that and says that the list was not true. I'll just say this, Joe, and we'll kind of get started into the Matthew Tkachuk saga here for the next 45 minutes. I have a pretty good amount of trust in the Athletic sources that got thrown out there. I'm not saying that Eric Francis is wrong by any stretch of imagination, but, you know, Jeremy Rutherford is somebody that I've known for a long time, and I got a pretty good amount of confidence in him.
Well, I do have a little bit more context on that from Jeremy. And like you said, we're going to have Jeremy on later to talk about this. But essentially, the list that they listed are teams that sources have told them, Jeremy and Haley, Sylvian, who covers the Flames for us, have told them Tkachuk would consider. So yeah. It's the Nashville is one of the teams that he has mentioned as one that he would consider going to. So I think, I guess they could both be right in that it isn't necessarily like there's a list you can hold and say, here is the list.
Right.
And here's the list of teams, but
that doesn't mean Calgary has to, hey, I'm sending you there.
Right. So essentially I do think that they changed the wording a bit in the story. I mean, it's the list of teams that their sources have told them Tkachuk would go to. So, and Nashville is definitely a team that this is Jeremy telling me this last night that Tkachuk has mentioned. So, so list or not, the guts of it remains the same. The Preds would be one of those teams, and you laid it out there. I don't know if it's the income tax thing on all those teams or not. It is an interesting link. And like you said, you know, St. Louis's hometown, his dad played most of his career. Yep. With the Blues. So that one is obvious. And that's the sentimental choice probably around the league, you know, for Tkachuk. And of course, Jeremy covers the Blues, but I would definitely characterize this as the Preds are on his radar.
So I will say this. I think I said yesterday on the show that I would give it about a 1% chance, maybe a little bit less than 1%, that Matthew Tkachuk ends up with the Predators. I will say, Joe, I have gone up. It's still not a high percentage, but if there's a preferred list and Nashville's somewhere on it and the list is not, there's not 29 teams on the list, I mean, it has to go up a little bit, right? So, I don't know. I'm somewhere around 12, 15. I'll settle on 16.8% that Matthew Tkachuk ends up with the Predators.
Ooh, 16.8%. I like that. Okay. Well, that's a jump. And I think doubled figures makes sense for sure. I mean, if you really want to dig in on percentages with that, it's like which team, and I don't have all this information, but if you go through all the possibilities, which team has the best situation to offer? I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? I mean, it's right. Still the Flames are getting torn apart here. Gaudreau, Bales, and now this. So
they lost Eric Goodbranson, for God's sake. What do they do?
Yeah, they lost really, like, you know, the heart of their franchise, really. Right? probably a Flames Hall of Famer someday. But I mean, it really is for them, like, they've got to get the most return. So which of these teams can offer the most and the best return, you know, that fits them the best?
Well, and the other
and
part
I do is, think the Preds have, and you've been talking about it on Twitter. I'm seeing this in my mentions now from last night, the goalie discussion, because I think that's where the Preds could potentially have an edge.
It's a discussion that's worth having. The other part, and we'll get to kind of what a deal may have to look like and what Predators fans are comfortable giving up here in just a few minutes. But I mean, the other part of this is the cap situation too. Like, I think regardless of who ends up trading for Matthew Tkachuk, you're going to have to move some money around. I mean, his contract is just going to be big enough where you're probably going to have to move some money around. I mean, the two teams on this list that are in the best cap situations are the Predators and the Dallas Stars. Now, the Stars have even a little bit more room. They still haven't signed Jake Oettinger, and they got to sign Jason Robinson or Robertson to a new deal as well. So I think they got around $11 million in cap space. Well, those two guys that I just mentioned are going to eat up a whole lot of that. So regardless of who ends up trading for Matthew Tkachuk, really whether it's on this list or not, they're going to have to move some money around just because of the size of the contract. I mean, Matthew Tkachuk is his qualifying offer is at $9 million. He's going to come in probably somewhere a little bit over that on an annual average value basis. So that's the other part of this. Like I look at a team like Vegas and I'm like, you just moved out Max Pacioretty and you're still over the cap. Like, how are you going to go get Matthew Tkachuk? How many people are you going to have to move out to go get Matthew Tkachuk? It's a little bit more complicated for a team like that.
I guess like the Kraken could do it, maybe. If he went Seattle, he just went the little southwest of Seattle. But yeah. And then yeah, what is that number? I mean, what are the Preds looking to pay him? 9.058. Is that the boundary line?
Look, he's going to make more than Roman Josi.
Yeah. You're going to have to give up multiple individuals you don't want to give up. But to me, this is – I think David Poile should throw himself into this, you know. We talked about some of the other players who signed or, you know, Pacioretty, as you said, you know, he got moved. You know, some of these other guys who got signed who might have fit here well. And Poile has laid out the needing to sign these other guys. So you got to think about that. But you know what? I think you throw it all out the window if you can have a guy like this. I mean, if you can add Tkachuk and not completely shred your roster doing it, then I can look at the West next year and say, outside of Colorado, you might be as dangerous as anyone with him. Maybe I'm overstating that. But it changes.
I don't know that you are. I think it changes. It changes a lot about the trajectory of this team. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Matthew Tkachuk situation, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into what's it going to take to land this guy, and if you're the Predators, what should you be comfortable giving up? All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Discussing Matthew Tkachuk. Looks like he's going to be made available from the Calgary Flames should the Nashville Predators involve themselves with Matthew Tkachuk and the Flames. Now, we put out there the report from The Athletic yesterday that apparently, according to Matthew Tkachuk and teams that he would be willing to maybe sign a long-term deal with, the Predators are on that list. So if you're the Predators, what are you comfortable giving up in order to land the services of Matthew Tkachuk? Now, Joe, one thing to keep in mind here that I guess I had to keep going back and forth with people on Twitter about yesterday. Matthew Kachuk's 24 years old. I mean, you're not trading for a 32-year-old. It's a 24-year-old player. He just put up 104 points, 42 goals. Now, albeit he played on a line with Johnny Gaudreau and Elias Lindholm, and you can make a pretty good argument that that was the best line in hockey last year. So that is an extremely high level of production. The fact is he put up 42 goals and 104 points. And if you watch Matthew Tkachuk play last year, even if he just singled out the Predators games, the guy is an absolute stud. I mean, he's unbelievable last year. I saw Dom Lecision, who works for The Athletic as well, put out his player card yesterday, which basically is just a big breakdown of the analytics and everything that go with that. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find a weakness in Matthew Tkachuk's game. So the guy is an absolute stud. He is a great, great player. You know, Jared throws out big boy forward all the time. This guy's a big boy forward. I mean, he's got great skill. And quite frankly, he's the biggest pain in the butt in the whole league, which I think is is something that has a lot of value that he brings with it as well. So the guy is an exceptional player. I said this the other day. If I could hand select somebody that I think would be perfect for this Predators team, obviously outside of like Connor freaking McDavid or Austin Matthews, this is the guy I would pick because of the way that he plays the game and how good he is. So having said all that, obviously I'm all in for it. I guess the question is, what are you comfortable giving up? What do we think they'll have to give up to land a guy who's 24 years old and is a 100-point player?
So you're just going to diss Nathan MacKinnon? That should be the headline from this. Nashville radio host ignores Nathan MacKinnon. What about Cale Makar? You don't think the Preds try to get Cale Makar to pair him up with Roman Josi? Come on, man.
I'm sure the Avs media will run with that. And in between, they're coming up for air and taking sips out of the Stanley Cup. They'll write something about it.
Sure. Oh, baby. There you go. I figured the text line, we'd get some trade suggestions. What's this one? This one you got Sissons, Fabro, Ingram, Tolvanen. Yeah, that's not gonna do it. And some combination of that and maybe a pick. Yeah, you're gonna have to dig a little deeper than that. I think. You're talking I think that like Sissons, that's the thing. You gotta think about setting some cap back, right?
Yeah.
But Sissons, I think, is actually something to consider. I think you could seriously open this up to what about Granlund or something? You can open this up to just about anyone but a very small group. You're not gonna send Forsberg, you're not gonna send Josi.
Right.
But
you can't send either one of those. Right.
Yeah, right. That's right. You couldn't anyway. But I think you have to keep a very open mind on this. And I got to think that Calgary right now is fielding a lot of calls. And that's the problem for the Preds and all these teams. First of all, it's not just that you want Tkachuk. You also really don't want St. Louis to get Tkachuk.
Right.
And then vice versa with them and you. So if you're in Calgary, although this is terrible because your great players are leaving you, you are in a position right now to really drive up price.
Well, and it's been interesting to watch people's opinion on that, because I had a lot of people on Twitter telling me yesterday, well, Calgary's not in a great position of power because he's told them he's not re-signing. So maybe that drives the price down a little, and it might. I guess my pushback on that would be it drives the price down that Calgary has no chance of getting him back there.
Yeah.
But you're trying to outbid other teams. What is the best offer St. Louis can put together? You're going to have to outbid that if you're the Predators. So that drives the price right back up, in my opinion.
No question. Yeah, we've moved past. We know they're not keeping him, but when you're that good of a player and that many teams could potentially put something together to lure him, then no question. To me, it's just like they're running an auction right now, hopefully for David Poyle's sake, he's got the really good number to get through. I don't know. In this day and age, when something like this goes on, does it just come down to all of a sudden you just keep texting back and forth? Okay, how about bop, 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 name, 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 just send the text? I don't know.
Maybe so.
We always think people on landlines, here's David Poyle on line two. Maybe Everybody's just texting each other. But I got to think that Poyle's heavily engaged in this. This is a chance to make a leap, I think, on paper, but to make a leap and have, you laid out, a special player entering his prime. And of course, this also would include, we said it last time, but just to be clear, this also would include a new deal, a long-term deal. So you're talking about, this isn't what the Pacioretty thing would have been, right? This is commitment to him, but I think he's worth it.
I think he's absolutely worth it. And you brought up something in the last segment that I think it bears repeating. And I think is absolutely going to be the case. In order to land somebody like this, you're going to have to give up a piece or maybe multiple pieces that you're pretty uncomfortable giving up. That's how these things work. Chase laid this out yesterday. you know, do you think the Predators really wanted to give up Shea Weber? Probably not, but they got PK Subban out of it. You think they wanted to give up Seth Jones? I can tell you they didn't want to give up Seth Jones, but you had to go do something to get a centerman, and they got Ryan Johansson out of it. Like even those aren't perfect comparisons because this guy is way more proven than Ryan Johansson was at the time. He doesn't play the same position. He's not a center, but you're talking about a 100-point player at 24 years old. I mean, this is something that can change the way you do business here if you're the Predators and the way that you're viewed heading into next season. So, like, the price is going to be high. And the question, I guess, is how high is too high? Like, what are you willing to give up or not give up if you're a Predators fan? I saw a lot of this yesterday. And, you know, Adam talked about this last week on the show. I think a lot of people really overvalue certain players and how they would be viewed to other teams. Like, you're probably not getting this done for Colton Sissons, Ellie Tolvin, and Dante Fabbroe at a first-round pick. Like, it's probably not happening. Like, I could be wrong, and maybe that maybe it's as low as – matter of fact, look, if that was the deal, I'd do it right now, no questions asked, if I was David Poile. But it's probably going to take, you know, maybe multiple first round picks. It might take a guy like Luke Evangelista. And you know what? It might take a guy like Yaroslav Askarov. And there's different routes you can go to get this done or try to get this done if you're the Predators. I saw a whole lot of the, you know, Askarov is a non-starter yesterday. And I understand that line of thinking, but I don't agree with it. We've talked about this, Joe. UC Saros is 27 years old. He can realistically be your goalie for the next 8 years. I mean, you tell me. You don't think UC Saros could play until he's 34, 35 years old? I think he probably could. I get it. You've got a goaltending prospect in Askarov that you've never had before. I mean, he is an elite, elite prospect. And if there's any way you could get this deal done without giving him up, that's probably the route I'd pursue first if I'm the Predators. But if it comes down to it and that's what pushes you over the top, I'm willing to do it. I know a lot of people aren't, but I would be willing to do it.
I'm going to call a shot at 6:26 a.m. The Preds don't get this done unless Askarov is included in the deal. I think he is the – I don't know, what do you call it? The X factor. He's the thing that pushes it over the top. If they're willing to go there, and of course, I understand people saying it's a non-starter. I get it. And I bet you, like, that could easily be David Poile's first reaction too. Like, that's just not happening. But, I mean, that's where you have an edge here, is that you actually have, first of all, you have what you know to be a very good goaltender. And if you're if you're relegated to having UC Saros be your goaltender for a long time, I think you're going to be okay. We don't know Askarov is going to be as good as UC Saros in the NHL.
We really do. That's
we do
the
not
thing.
Know that.
Now, he very well could, and he could be better. I'm not saying he won't be.
Could be.
But everybody's acting like he's already penciled into the Hall of Fame. I mean, the guy hadn't played a game in North America yet. Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
But see, that mindset, you know, Calgary – I know, knows what he could be.
Yeah.
And if I'm Calgary and I'm looking at and I'm fielding all these other offers, and certainly I'm sure there are some sweet hauls that are being thrown around, that intrigues me. You know, that's like, okay, so we could have our generational goalie in this deal. Okay, let's text Poile back again, actually. Hold out. Yeah, let's text Poile quick. He gets first in line here. I could be wrong, and maybe it is a complete non-starter and it's pointless to talk about, but I bet you that if the Preds make this deal, that name's involved.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Would you be willing to give up Askarov as a part of a deal to land Matthew Tkachuk from the Calgary Flames? We'll take your trade submissions, anything on the table on the text line, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing Matthew Tkachuk. Looks like he is available for trade from the Calgary Flames. He will not be re-signing in Calgary. What should the Predators do? What would you be comfortable with the Predators giving up in order to land Matthew Tkachuk? Devin from Dover on the text line says, I'm going to call my shot at 628 that the team we have now is the team we're going to get knocked out of the first round of the playoffs with, because Poile doesn't have the backbone to pull something like this off. Prove me wrong, David. This is coming from Devin from Dover. Look, you can say a lot of things about Poile. I would not say that he's afraid to make a big move. I think we've seen that in the past.
Yeah, he's made plenty of them. Now, some of them haven't worked out, but I don't think anybody – now, people may have been mad at him, but I don't think anybody was talking about his backbone when he moved Weber for Subban, right?
Right.
And you mentioned earlier the Jones-Johansson trade. So I don't think that's the problem.
Kyle Turris, I mean, it was a big move. Didn't
big
work.
Move. Yeah, that was a big move. So I don't think that's – that's the issue. It's a question of, can they have the bet? You know, what's he willing to offer? And is it enough? Maddie asked, does he immediately become our best player the day he hits the ice?
I think he becomes your best forward for sure. Now Yossi still plays.
Yeah.
So probably not your best overall player, but he's, I think for sure, your best forward.
Maddie's thrown out a 2022 first rounder. That's too late, but I guess two first rounders and Askarov. You have to send Cat back. You got to remember this too. I think you're going to have to, that's probably gonna have to be a part of it from the Preds perspective.
Well, it is, but I think people are going a little crazy with we'll just send Johansson back. Well, why would Calgary take on Ryan Johansson's contract?
Yeah.
Now, Calgary is not in, obviously, with all their players leaving. Everybody keeps talking about Calgary and shedding cap. They don't need to shed cap. They're going to be fine. They got plenty of cap space. So they could take on a Ryan Johansson contract. I guess, why would they? It's pretty clear that they're going to have to tear this thing down.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if they looked at a Johansson, he's still got some good years left and he could still be a factor as we come back, they could do it. But I guess I'd be surprised if they thought that way. I would think that Johansson and Duchesne are probably contracts that are, for as well as they played last year, still contracts that are going to be tough for the Preds to move in any scenario.
So going back to the Askarov discussion, because, Brian on the text line says, yeah, give him up. You go get a big boy forward. If it costs you Askarov, it costs you Askarov. I think some people agree with that. There's a lot of people that I came across yesterday that they didn't want to have a conversation if Askarov is part of it. One thing to keep in mind, and I've already seen some of this on our text line this morning. Right now, Askarov is not close to being in the NHL. He's going to be in Milwaukee this year. I don't think he's going to start in Milwaukee this year. He might. But I think he's probably going to get, close to split playing time. He's probably a minimum of 2 years away from being an NHL player. If the traditional way that the Predators do things and the way they develop, he's probably a minimum of 2 years away. And realistically, he's probably 3 to 4 years away from being a starting goalie. Juuse Saros is under contract for the next 3 years. Now, that doesn't mean you can't trade him at some point in that contract. But you have 3 years left with Saros locked up at $5 million per year. As we found out this summer with some of the other deals that are being signed by goalies, that's a pretty darn good deal for the Predators to have him at $5 million a year for the next 3 years. This idea that Askarov is going to come up at some point later this year and take the reins away from Juuse Saros, the guy's 2 years away. I could be wrong, but I don't see any scenario where he's in the NHL full-time for the next 2 years. They need him to play. He didn't play last year. He barely played because of his situation in Russia. They knew he was coming over here, so they basically just threw him aside, and he didn't play last year. He needs to play a lot the next couple of years. And because of that, this idea that you could trade Saros right now in this deal and then just bring up a Askarov, he's not an NHL player at the moment.
Exactly. So if Soros is the move, it doesn't, I mean, to me, it's a complete contradiction, because a move for Kachuk is a win now move. It's a go for it move. It's okay, gearing up with a team. And frankly, given the contract situations of a lot of the guys, some of whom we talked about today, to me, I mean, I think doing that, even if you're mortgaging some future, is better than just hanging around the middle, which is what this roster is right now. But if you make the move for him and then you give away and then you don't have a starting goaltender, then it's not a go for it move anymore.
Yeah, what are you doing?
It's just like you're not gonna be a winning hockey team. I mean, you're not gonna be a high level winning hockey team without a goaltender. And Lankanen and Ingram would be your next two options.
Anybody want to sign up for that right now?
Yeah. So get out of the mindset of, yeah, okay, just accelerate the Askarov thing a little bit. No, it just doesn't work that way. He's not close to ready. So it has to be him. If a goaltender, I mean, other than obviously, you know, Ingram, but, and I've seen people do that. Okay, great. I mean, that's a throw in, but if one of the two big goaltenders is going here, it's going to be Askarov.
Yeah. And the question is, are you okay with that? Now, I do think this. I think there are multiple paths that could probably get a deal done at some point. You could either go, you could load up on picks, and Evangelista could be part of it. You know, maybe Tomasino's part of it. Like, that's the thing. You're going to have to give up something that stings. And maybe it ends up being Tomasino. I don't know. Like, there's multiple ways you could go about doing it. I will say this. If Askarov is a part of it, if I'm David Poile and the Predators, that lowers the asking price around it. Like, if you want me to give you a first round pick, Luke Evangelista, Philip Tomasino, and Dante Fabro, I'm just throwing stuff out. Well, that's fine. But if you want a scar off a part of that, well, I'm not giving you Luke Evangelista. Like, I think he lowers the rest of the asking price based on how high level of a prospect that he is. And lowers the asking price is probably not the right term. But the pieces around it, like it's a smaller trade, I think, with fewer pieces going the other way, if Askarov's a part of it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. So here's a texter, no name, but it's a good text about this, making the point that they have, you know, of course they have Jacob Markstrom, and they have a very good goalie prospect in Dustin Wolf. I'd be surprised if they think they need a goalie or a goalie prospect. You know, he's making the point, he or she's making the point that, you know, they'd probably be more like this idea is Jeannot, Evangelista, 2023 first, top 10 protected, and 2024 second. I hear you, but Markstrom's 32. I mean,
totally crapped all over himself in the playoffs. Like, Markstrom to me is not he's not even a part of this discussion.
Right. Like, you were talking about years down the road. Yeah. And here's the thing. I hear you, and maybe Dustin Wolf is they love him and they think he's going to be a superstar. But even if that's the case, like, look at the Preds to me have this potential to get into this. Maybe it does. Maybe it wouldn't require an Askarov, but I think that strengthens their possibility. It's just such a benefit to have two potentially, you know, top shelf goalies in your organization. So. I still think that Markstrom, I mean, he's coming to the end here at some point. I still think that Askarov would be of high interest because, you know, of course, from their perspective, as they rebuild, do whatever they're going to do, now they have that asset, which, again, there are some people who think Askarov could be generational. We don't know if he will be or not, but the fact that that's out there and that he so far has not done anything to change that idea makes him very valuable, whether he's in your organization or as an asset later for you in a trade ship.
Well, this is exactly why. And I remember the conversation from some Preds fans when they took him. They're like, well, we already have UC Soros. Why are you taking another goalie? This is why in the NHL draft, you take the best prospect available to you in the first round. Doesn't matter what it is, whoever that best prospect is, whether it's defenseman, forward, whatever, this is why you do that. Because first off, who knows 5 years from now what your goalie situation is going to look like? you can end up having a stud walk into your organization. But if you don't, it's really also, it's not just about developing players. It's about getting as many assets that you can. And this is why you do that, because now you're in a situation where you could potentially, and look, again, I don't know if it would even require a Skarov, but if it does, like, you're in a situation where you can make that decision if you're David Poile and the Predators, if you want to.
James keeps throwing out ideas. He comes up with, okay, fine then. Sissons, Fabro, Askarov, a first and second, and a luxury pre-owned Rolex from Genesis. I think you're getting closer, James.
Now we're getting there.
You're getting closer, buddy.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What should the Predators give up to try to land Matthew Tkachuk, and how important is it that David Poile makes a huge push for this player? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Heiser here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Nashville Predators. Matthew Tkachuk, apparently available from the Calgary Flames. According to The Athletic, at least some sources close to Tkachuk says that the Predators are on his list of teams that he would be interested in signing a long-term deal with. So the question is, should the Predators pursue it? And what is the price that you're willing to pay if you're David Poile and the Nashville Predators to try and get it done? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, there's another part of this that we've talked about before that I think makes this make even more sense if you're the Predators. And that is, you just signed Philip Forsberg to an 8-year deal. He's at 27 years old. You know, Ryan Johansson's got 3 years left on his deal. Matt Duchene's got 4 years left on his deal. Like, those are all contracts and deals that are in win now mode. The other part of this, Roman Josi's 32. He just turned 32 in June. He had his best year of his career last year, 96 points. I fully expect Roman Josi, when he comes back in there next year, to be every bit as good as he was last year. That doesn't mean necessarily the same point total, but he's going to be really good. I think we know that. How much longer is he going to be able to play at that type of a level? I don't know. Like, I if I'm a Predators fan right now, regardless of what you thought they should do heading into this offseason, if you wanted them to tear it down, rebuild, whatever you wanted, well, they haven't done that, okay? So it is what it is at this point. They're not going to do it. So if they're not going to do it, I'd rather see them go for it. If I'm a Predators fan, like, we keep talking about, you know, get out of the middle, get out of the middle. It's the worst place to be, and I agree with it. So if I'm a Predators fan now, even if you thought they should tear it down, like, they're not going to do that. So you might as well just go for it. Like, Matthew Tkachuk, to me, he's a go-for-it move. And it's a go-for-it move, but you're not signing a 30-year-old to a contract. He's 24 years old. I mean, he could be a really good player for you for a long time, for the next 8 years. Like, that's a 7-8-year contract that if it gets signed, I'm looking around and I'm saying, yeah, he'll be 25 next year. Sign me up. That's exactly when you sign somebody to a contract like that. So – I think it makes even more sense based on what they've done. I mean, they obviously have no interest in tanking or rebuilding and any of that stuff. So if you're not going to do it, just go for it. And if it doesn't work out, then you can burn it to the ground later. But if I'm the Predators, I am all in on going to get Matthew Tkachuk. All in.
All right. Like, you can't have no interest in tanking or seriously rebuilding and also have no interest in making a huge risk like this. I mean, because you're just saying, okay, we're good where we are. We'll talk about being a good team. We got some good players. We made the playoffs last year. Think we can make the playoffs next year. Cool. No one's going to be excited by that. Now, I understand from a business perspective the importance of making the playoffs, but I think that it's pretty obvious. We've talked about this long before this materialized. I mean, a lot of Preds fans are being disillusioned by that. And this could end up hurting badly. You know, you trade Askarov and then you watch him for 10 years be the best goalie in the league, or who knows? I mean, I'd put Tomasino in the mix here as a possibility. I'd put Janot in here, Evangelista.
Evangelista could turn into a 90-point guy in the NHL, and that hurts to watch.
Sure. I mean, this could end up being rough, but to your point, like, this is a chance to actually shake things up while, like you said, you have a bunch of this roster that you're not going to move, that are getting older, that are making a lot of money. And if that's not going to be disrupted, you have a chance to add to it to the extent that that it could actually just really elevate the team. And I mean, Tkachuk, that deal could be through the period would be in the short term, which could be pretty good. And back through the whatever else, a rebuild and back on the other side, you know,
he can
still be one of your top players. So, I mean, basically, you'd know that Tkachuk and Forsberg for many years are going to be, you know, are locked up and are going to be forwards for you. And that's not bad.
It's not bad. And I mean, just let's live in the hypothetical world that they get this done and they give up, I don't know, Evangelista, a couple of picks, you know, Colton Sissons goes back the other way. I'm just throwing stuff out here. I mean, they're going to have to send somebody back at the NHL level because they've got to move some money around to get this done. So somebody's going back that's on the roster. Otherwise, I don't know how the Predators are going to make this work. So, but let's just see somehow they keep their top six together throughout this. How much different does a top six of Forsberg, Duchesne, Johansson, Granlund, Tkachuk sound than what they have right now? I mean, it's light years better with one guy coming in. Now, maybe Tomasino goes back the other way and you've still got a hole on the other side, but I'll take my chances with a hole on the right wing right now, trying to figure that out, rather than with Matthew Tkachuk on my team, comparatively speaking to what they have right now. Like, if they make this move and their roster doesn't get disrupted too much, to me, they're clearly the number two team in the Central. Clearly, I think.
Yeah, because don't forget, I mean, they did add McDonough, you know, and they are better there without question. So you'd be talking about two high impact adds, and you'd be sacrificing some future, of course. But that's the thing. Like, if right now, what the Preds have coming down, like, I think Evangelista could be really good, right? Someday. Skarov could be special, but you have a really good goalie. I mean, right now, I don't see, like, this wave of prospects there where, you know, like, 3 years from now, man, are they going to be – they're going to be swimming in good players. I mean, you got some good players. And it's not like we have like five, six, seven names that we're going to be throwing around that the Calgary Flames are going to be interested in, right? I mean, it's a pretty short list. So it's just a matter of finding that right combination. And obviously then, as we've talked about, it's also a matter of outbidding. I mean, like you mentioned Dom Lucision and his player card for Tkachuk. And with that, he said, you know, every single team in this league should be looking at this. So yep. There are going to be teams throwing a lot of stuff at the Flames, and this could hurt a lot. I mean, what about like a Granlund?
Yeah.
I mean, you could be, you know, like if a Granlund and Tomasino along with like a pick and, you know, whatever. I mean, there's so many possibilities. It's going to hurt. I don't see any way around it. But the good thing for the Preds is even if like Tkachuk may prefer the Blues, you know, that, you know, if he was a free agent, then maybe that would be his choice. But it is ultimately up to the Flames and what the return's going to be.
It is up to the Flames to a certain degree. Now, the other part of this is, like, if you're making this trade, regardless if it's the Predators or somebody else, if you're giving up a lot, there better be an extension coming with it. Like, there will be an extension done coming with it. So, like, if Tkachuk, let's say, I don't know, I'll just throw a team out there. You know, San Jose. Let's say San Jose, they really want – and San Jose is in cap trouble, so maybe that's a bad example. But whoever, they really want Matthew Tkachuk. and they're going to move heaven and earth to make it happen. And they've got the best offer on the table for the Flames. Well, that's great. But like, are you really giving up all that if Matthew Tkachuk looks at you and says, yeah, man, I have no interest in signing with your team long term. So I'll be there for 1 year and see you later. Like, are you really going to give up a lot for that? Probably not. So yes, it's up to the Flames, but also a lot of this is up to Tkachuk. Like, in order to land the deal that the Flames want to land, there's going to have to be a contract extension from Tkachuk's side of things come along with it to whoever's making the trade.
Right. I guess, yeah. Like, it's up to the Flames within the teams that can do this and that he wants to go to.
Sure, sure.
But there's enough of them that I think the price is going to get driven up.
I think it's going to be pretty high. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We got a lot of your thoughts to get to on the Predators and Matthew Tkachuk. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.